That will happen with the plan, only happens with the counter plan. And the last item, item number seven, is that the internal link to a question is that federalism violates the power of any one government entity to prevent it from terrorizing the people because it holds too much power. The claim destroys the balance and makes the person inevitable because our federal government has way too much power over people. Now, item number eight. She says no internal link to modeling. Ornstein says that other countries look to our federalism model to determine their own federalism, but the plan destroys a balanced model and replaces it with a model that gives the national government too much control. This is devastating to new federal democracies and creates conflict. That's what our Ornstein impact evidence is. Now, the number nine, she says no impact on Ornstein. Now, the ninth attempt to make this argument sound different from the number eight, even though it's not. The plan is a huge loss of federalism. That's why our policy costs this as an extended argument from the number six and seven answers the fact that the same argument. And it's the number two is that U.S. balance is key to get the international model. Too many people are approved by federalism is serving as the law so far across the world, so we can see countries with different national organizations trying to strike a balance between solidarity and diversity. In other regards, American federalism has a lot to teach the rest of the world in terms of how to balance these principles. On the one hand, American solidarity is to offer the citizens will have access to the Department of the Federal Services. On the other hand, the extent of autonomy our states will have to enjoy provides the opportunity to develop the innovative effective tailored to their specific needs to prove why the states have to act alone without the federal government. Now, that's it. All right, time frame. The first argument of time frame is the permutation, but first it's the time frame permutation of doing the test case after the plan is illegitimate. The affirmative put fiat doing the plan after the DISAD, which makes the plan a moving part and destroys negative debatability. Second, the firm field links to the DISAD key argument. It creates confusion in the model, i.e. by having all these different types of federalism going on, i.e. cooperative federalism, which is what their argument, plus other types of federalism, it only creates confusion among the other countries. They don't know what the model, but still gives impact is proved by the permutation. Not a good idea. Now, the selection number two, she said that there's a policy with the title plan, but they can't prove that there's a policy differential or that it's even significant. And second, our case argument is true that there's not a huge harm area to solve anyway. You see, there's no big policy difference between the plan and the title plan. You won't worry about that. Now, choice number three, which is the permutation. It's a separate permutation. You can't do both. They have to sever out the part of the plan that issues a mandate, a federal mandate. The mandate part of the plan equals the link to the DISAD, which proves why the permutation is not beneficial. Now, the choice number four, she says no sovereignty because the Supreme Court has to clarify. First, there's no evidence. The Supreme Court is able to interpret laws better than Congress, and that's their purpose by either the Supreme Court interprets the Constitution. That's their purpose, not Congress. Means the Supreme Court is better at it than Congress. And second, the Supreme Court decisions are higher profile than congressional decisions on education. I.e., the Brown versus Supreme Court of Education, which proves why federal, why those types of court cases are the type of things that people look for. Those are the mandates. Now, the choice number five, she says the court failed. We never claim to solve anything through the court action. All we do, all we are attempting to do is allow state innovation. That's not how we get solvency. How we get solvency is we actually equal increase in single-sex schools because the court only mandates that states are able to do it, not that they have to do it, which provides the impetus for them to do it as a part of state innovation. That's how the child plan solves. Now, question number six. She says there's no sovereignty because only the plan mandates something. But first, the mandate is the link to the federalism, proves why you reject the plan. And second, the counterpoint solves just as much. Our evidence proves that state innovations only occur outside of federal regulation. Once we increase federal regulation, that decreases state innovation. In terms of case now, the number seven, she says no sovereignty, you need federal and state action. But federal regulations won't be enforced by the states if we do the plan plus the counterplan. And as we fail, we support our testing and assessment in 1999. The regulatory process is a for failure to comply, to cut off the federal aid. Also makes it unwilling. Government loses its leverage when it applies to citizens. The mandate supply to states that accepted grant funds for the states rejected the funds that did not have to comply with the mandate. States didn't put pressure on the Congress to provide the funds without requirements to comply with the mandate. And the OBJP did not object to them because they wanted the states to continue to participate in the program. And Russell answered at 8:10. I already have it here. All right. My first question is, the link to federalism, to me, at least, my understanding, wrong, is that the reason why it's bad if the federal government encroaches on state territory is if it's something states doesn't want to do because it's a way of using leverage of their federal money to get states to do things they don't want to do. Not my link argument. Sure, not my link argument. Our link argument is a little bit more specific to what the plan actually does because it offers a mandate. Even if there are some states that would like to participate in single-sex schools, there might be other states who don't want to participate in the program that are forced to do so with the plan. And you don't read any arguments that are hard to talk about what states want to participate.
I'm confused, though, because you make the argument a couple of other places on federalism that there's no guarantee of the mandate with the plan or maybe it's never mind. Okay, let me ask you a question. Where is any piece of evidence that says that countries model not our overall system, but the individual actions taken within the federalism of any system? I'm sorry, repeat the question. Okay. You have evidence that says other countries are looking to the United States democracy and federalism model. I understand that. And those parts say they model the whole of our government. Now, my question is, where is any piece of evidence that says they would specifically model changes made to that overarching system that someone tells?
That's not at all my argument. Not my argument is not that that's
one thing.
Sure, but that's not the Augustine parts I read, and that's not our argument. That's totally not.
Can I see that? Can I see that Augustine evidence?
Yes.
Hey, Rose, can I see that Augustine evidence from one? Okay. Well, we're right, but that's the argument you made number one by line. Where I said there's no reason to don't start to change the form. Okay. So you make the argument at some point on the line by line that the federal government can act over students' rights, but it's intrusion into what it's been.
It's intrusion into things like setting up curriculums or setting up where kids have to go to school. Those types of policies are not part of the federal government.
No, I totally understand. I guess I just don't understand really the distinction of if the plan seems done to protect student rights, prevent them from being sexually harassed, like we don't do curriculum changes.
Sure, but that's not what the federal government's mode of action is instead of code, the type of plan that you do. The federal government does have to protect student rights, but if it sets up laws where people can, like, you know, file claims against the schools because they're discriminatory, all that's fine. What the counterplan does is devolve all educational control that deals anything with, like, curriculum, where the students go to school, all of that type of thing, not the
right, I understand that. So that's the permutation.
I don't think the permutation solves, but I think the permutation still leads to the disaster.
Really, so your argument is by doing single-sex school and devolving every 100% other part of education to the state, that I'm somehow encroaching on the state?
Sure, you look at the number two argument on the flow, it says that only creates a lot more confusion about what type of model we're
attempting. Right, I know that's your argument. Do you have any piece of evidence that confuses people?
No, my evidence is in the same place as all the link turn arguments are. You know, the evidence that you have to link from the same place.
Well, I can show you mine, but let's see yours.
But yours doesn't exist, and that's why mine doesn't either.
yeah, it does.
That card is so bad.
Maybe the little SMB person is confusing with everyone. Are you signing for sex, everyone?
Yeah, please.
Okay. The next question that I have, I want to understand, explain to me how confusion occurs, okay? So what people see as being our model is that the federal government takes an action to reinterpret a part of, you know, its statutes to prevent single-sex schools, while also devolving all educational power to the state. I don't understand how that is a confusing model if you're making the argument they don't look at specific policies.
No, they don't model specific policies, is my argument. Not that they don't look at specific policies, it's that they're going to determine how to develop our federalism model. Not my argument.
A little bit smaller. So if you're still hanging on and you want your code to be perfect and you did some stuff, you can confirm with your friends that you can't come up here and look at this. So I'm going to put up the rest of them. I'll give you a couple minutes if you want to fill in some answers. Don't give up. This is the one first report, remember.
And Russ is going to do a little dance.
I'm going to give the order real quick. I'm going to finish the counterplan. There are three answers at the bottom that Shannon didn't get to, so I'm going to answer those. 8, 9, and 10. And I'm going to go to arms, which is observation one. Solidity, which is observation three. And then topicality is last. Sir, I'm going to do that again. The last three answers on the counterplan, numbers 8, 9, and 10, observation 1, which is harms, observation 3, which is solvency, and then topicality last. Okay, one more time for those of us with short attention spans, including myself, because I've already forgotten. The bottom of the counterplan, answers number 8, 9, and 10, observation 1, which is harms, observation 3, which is solvency, and topicality is last. Okay. And I've always wanted to do this. Is this thing on?
I lived out a dream today. Thank you.
I'm going to start debating now, because if I keep talking, I'm really going to make an idiot out of myself. On the panel, number 8, she says, only Congress creates social change. That's irrelevant. There's no social change impact. Option number 9, she says, states discriminate. It's too bad. Plan, mandate, state experimentation, education, make you return in your own case. CDC number 10, dispositionality bad. First, it's not flat, it's a voting issue. That means I really don't care about this argument. That's why I should never get to it. She is that smart. Secondly, it's negative is it bound to the status quo that they don't articulate a reason why, and they never explain why this is abusive to them or how it is any different from a disadvantage. There's no real skew her time in the 2AC. She could have read the Nuclear Sergeant, it would have been fine. Now, the harms. If offer 1 and 2, extend 1 through 3 in the 1 and see all the cards saying the girls have higher academic achievement. She has 4, she makes 5 answers. Her first 2, she says, doesn't assume grades. However, grades are the only internal link evidence they have. It's the second common card in the 1 and see. That's the only thing that links self-esteem to school is how well girls do in school. And that is flat out answered by the most comprehensive study ever done that says that girls get better grades and have higher academic achievement. In the 2AC number 3, she says that girls aren't able to learn from failure to status quo, but they're going to make status quo, they're going to make teachers more biased and stigmatize girls as weaker. All in those arguments in the self-esteem. She doesn't solve this way either. She says on the number 4 that it's irrelevant because there's academic, epidemic sexual harassment of status quo, but they make sexual harassment worse for two reasons. The first is the number 4 turn on sovereignty, which she just concedes in the 2AC. It says every problem that exists in co-ed schools, they're going to make worse by creating an imbalance in the number of boys and girls. And all they're going to do is create same-sex harassment in single-sex schools, and that's got no Title IX protection. The only way you can file a sexual harassment suit is under Title IX. That doesn't cover same-sex harassment. So there would be zero protection against harassment with the plan. Off number 5, she says, you can never have too much achievement. Well, she better be right about that because they're going to make achievement a lot lower. Now, solvency. Her overview, she says, you don't respond to the fact that self-esteem is decreasing. That answer on the harms condition, and they're going to make it a lot worse. And she says that their Davis card proves that they solve role models. However, not truly in Davis card, but she flat out says that only the lower incidence of teacher-initiated sexism in public schools results from the presence of girls, which may inhibit the development of runaway sexism. That flat out answers her role model argument, that only the fact that male teachers have to worry about being accountable to women prevents them from creating like a locker room atmosphere within the classroom. They're going to make that a lot worse. And she says that they solve all gender stereotypes, that's totally ridiculous. It makes less sense than making me captain of the weightlifting team. They're not going to solve for anybody who's not in high school. And her next argument is she said they're last at these problems, they solve stereotypes. However, that's my number 2 card from the 1 and C. There are arguments that these stereotypes girl is weak. It doesn't matter what the intentions of the plan are or how it gets carried out. People are going to take the plan and just sort of use it to prop up their own stereotypes. And people are just going to say things like, you know, it just goes to show that girls can't hack it. They're not as good as boys. It doesn't matter if that's what the intentions of the plan are. People who already are sexist are going to use to justify their beliefs and entrench their sexism even more. Now, also on the extent of 1C number 2 specifically, the stigmatization term, that was explained in the overview. All she says is that it assumes math and science classrooms first. It doesn't, because it's talking about entirely single-sex schools, and even if it only does assume classrooms, it's kind of safe to assume that there would be single-sex classrooms and single-sex schools. And there are other two arguments she goes cross-by the overview, but that's answered my overview. This single card turns in terms of the case because the plan will be co-opted and used to propagate a male culture and society at large. And she identifies male culture as the biggest problem in cross-examination. Also, similar one thing with the increased sexist instruction. That was the card that I quoted in the top of the overview. She has no answer to this. All she says is it's not unique. If that's the case, then if that's only picked up the entire sovereignty in case you vote on the risk of federalism. However, the uniqueness card evidence is within the card. It says that girls in the classroom right now have been run away sexist. Now, also, I want to see number 4, the sexual imbalances argument. That was explained also on the harm contention. What they're going to do is take men and women out of co-ed schools. Those co-ed schools are still going to exist so that there will be a ton of men and no women or a ton of women and no men. And that card, what she just says, any problem that exists, that's going to make it worse. So for all the students who don't go to single-sex schools, which is the only thing that their sovereignty addresses, it's going to be worse to be in school post-plan than business status quo. That's straight turning all the impacts of the case. Now, topicality. Our interpretation of the topic is simply that the federal government has to be involved in the actual operations of education. Our argument that the affirmative plan is implemented by the state, but the federal government is only marginally involved in the plan. That blows the lid off the topic area of doubles the number of cases and gives her to all our disadvantage and counterclaim ground. That was explained in the standards in 1C. Now, off the line on group for 1 and 2 is explained just then. This case would be topical if the federal government implemented single-sex schools, or even if they mandated how states implement single-sex schools. But they just say, hey, states, do something, give them latitude. Listen, there's always going to be at least one interpretation under which which they're topical, but they'll never be able to win that their interpretation limits the topic area. It's always more fair than negative to mandate federal government action. That ensures we can win the state's counterclaim. We can get a link to like funding dispatch, inflation dispatch, spending, and GOP unity. Now, she says we overlimit. She says the federal government is important. I agree. You should use it more. And she says we don't have a right to bad disadvantages, but if those dispatches are so bad, then Shinero should be beat if you so badly on them. And she says that literature checks abuse, but all of her implementation literature advocates state experimentation without the federal government. That means that by her own standards, they have no sovereignty advocate. We vote, she told negative on presumption. That's an independent voting issue by her own impact output. She says there's no Enron, but that's explained above. It doesn't matter. She says they're not effects topical. That's fine. I'm not going for effects topicality. And she creates counter-interpretation, but they're still not topical. The federal government doesn't strengthen anything by her definition. The states do the plan. They're the ones who are doing the strengthening.
Can everybody hear me? Melissa, can I get the signal in the back? Can you hear me? Very good. The one more thing, Tom Callan. Federalism. Federalism. The counterplan. Observation one, then observation two. I mean three, sorry. Topicality. Federalism. The counterplan. Observation one, which is the harm debate. The observation three, which is the soft debate. And I hate the way I sound on the microphone. It's horrible. Okay, you ready? Hey, Lambert, not mine. Too bad. Too bad they didn't pass the debate round after the running, after the negative talk. After the zero and the record, her thinking on top of the college. 2-18-1 that we establish single sex school and bring them into existence. That defect any argument that they have about abuse and 2-18-2 that we mandate the goals and mechanisms for the use of single sex schools. Now the 2-18-3, all I want is the B and the C part that they don't have the right to bad generic dispatch like federalism and Clinton and the 2-18-3 that the 2-18-3 C. That the literature checks between these demands can cut a plethora of literature on the case, and there's absolutely zero story on why we abuse any ground they have in the 2018 college.
Back to federalism. Oops.
The 2-18-7 is no impact. There's no impact. There's a supposed case. So remember, that day turn is specific to the case offer. And if anything, we actually send a signal that we give more power to the case. And 2-18-8, there's no internal link to the modeling service. And there is absolutely no cards. The argument is that NBA is not making down into the card. The card that she reads doesn't say anything. Doesn't mean that the link is still intact. The card that she reads doesn't even go that far. It doesn't say anything about modeling. Now the permutation was solved better because the plan happened first, and then the test case comes up. Remember, that's probably the probability because they say that they have to wait on the next available test case. The permutation would do the plan first now.
Also, the 2-18-4, that there's no cause, there's no cause to the Supreme Court, or the court can't file a social change like legislation can, but that's the 4 and 5. Now, we need to make one that the counterplan doesn't, it means that the counterplan doesn't solve the permutation with 2 and 7 to prove that there's a solvency delay argument. The court can't do it, the court is inadequate to solve the social change, and that means the plan is the only thing that can do it. Additionally, extended 2-18-8, that there's no solvency, the court doesn't leave the social change, it means that the permutation would be the only thing that actually gets something done. Now, observation one. Talk about 2-18-3, that women lose the ability to actually learn in a situation where the male culture, there's absolutely zero indecent answer back to it, it means that they're continuing that wrong area. And you will talk about 2-18-4, that sexual harassment is an epidemic and the plan is the only thing that can solve it. Now, the problem for debate, group debate. One, you were talking about the California evidence that says you have to remove the male culture. And answer back all of their arguments about why the plan doesn't cause. And two, you just also falsify the fact that their arguments are not unique. They're all indicative of the status quo. Remember, the plan actually changes the way girls are protected in the status quo. The California can't do that because the only way you do it is through the federal government to mandate that protection. Remember, they actually say their policy is probabilistic. The plan is the only thing that's solved. All of these terms are indicative of the California plan as well. Remember, if we prove to you why the federal government is the best The first argument was extended 2-18-1, that we meet, we establish single-sex schools and bring them into existence. And the argument there was that means that there's no abuse to them because we actually establish a program or a policy. The second argument was 2-18-2, that we mandate single-sex schools. And we mandate the goals and mechanisms for them to implement single-sex schools, which is all they say we need to do. The next argument was the 2-18-3B and C. I only went for the three for the B and C subpoints of the 2-18-3. That they have no right to run in bad generic dissats like federalism. And that the literature checks abuse means there's a whole bunch of literature out there, they can just go cut negative cards. Also went for the 2-18-5, that we're not effectually topical. The federal government is the first implementer or actor of the plan. And that was it. Then the federalism debate. First, I started with Genera's overview. The first argument was that we mandate that they do the plan. That means that they don't have an incentive not to do the plan. They have to do it. And two, was to prophesy the 2-18-4, that we give more power to the state to solve for sexual harassment. Now, the federalism is line by line. The first argument was to prophesy the 2-18-1, the no-wins argument, that the states want the plan. The second argument was that means that the perception that other countries get is that the federal government is actually giving something to the states that they want already. The next argument was the 218 number 3. The no-link argument that educational policy doesn't upset the balance of federalism. The first argument off of that was that the federal government is overly involved in education now, which is what the card said, and we limit that involvement. The second argument is it disproves their perception link. If anything, if other countries don't model our educational policy, then there's no perception. If the federal government is overly involved now, it means that there's no risk of a link, only a risk of a unique term. The next argument was the 218 number 4, that we increase state power. The first argument off of that was that the plan protects students' rights through the federal government. And the second argument was we give discretion to the states as to how to enforce those policies. The third argument is that's a perception that gets sent to other countries, so it turns back their impact scenario, well, their least scenario. The next answer was the 2AC7. The answer is that their claim to turn back our policy isn't specific to the actual policy of the affirmative. And then the 218 number 8 was that there's no internal link to model. And my answer is that Genera doesn't read a card. So there's no, the internal link is all her assertion. The next is the counter plan. The first argument is the permutation. The first argument off of that is it solves better because the plan actually happens first. And then the test case happens, so there's no delay in policy. The next argument is that the plan still happens when you vote affirmative. So like as soon as you vote affirmative, the plan happens. If you vote negative, you have to wait on a test case. It means that their policy is probabilistic. The next argument is the 2AC4 and 5, that social change can't happen through the state, through the court. So the plan solves better because we actually implement federal action, and it proves their delay argument. The next argument, the 218 number 8, that courts can't cause social change. And now the harm space. All right, the case debate was real simple. I only prophesied the 218, 5, and 6 on the harm space. And on the sovereignty debate, I grouped it and made three answers. The first one was the California's evidence says that we removed the male culture. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right, 3 and 4. Good job. On the sovereignty debate, I just grouped it, made the argument that you should prophesy the California's evidence that you have to remove the male culture out of school. The second argument was that all the terms on case are non-unique. It's only indicative of the status quo. And 3, that the plan falls better and any term that they win on the case debate applies to the counterplan more. And that we solve better because we use the federal government. That's all I saw together. All right, now Chanel.
yes, 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 yes,